Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the IMI Talking Leadership podcast. Today, my guest is Padraig Hyland. He is the founder of Core Story, and he pioneers transformative change by helping organizations craft and communicate authentic stories that really resonate with their shareholders and their stakeholders. Padraig recently presented one of our IMI Lunch and Learn sessions for our corporate members, and we learned all about corporate storytelling. So today we'll go a little bit more into depth about that concept. So Padraig, go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hi, thanks, Farah. Well, you've done such a good job. I'm the founder of The Core Story, and we're a group of people, an eclectic mix, actually, of people in the pursuit of helping leaders put a bit of heart and soul back into their strategies and their cultures, and usually in the pursuit of performance or transformation and change. My background, I worked in international business for many years. I worked in Asia for 10 years, worked in America for years, and all around Europe. But probably what's interesting is that somewhere in my late 30s or so, I took some time out and went off, and I started doing comedy. I became a professional stand-up comedian for a number of years, and I think that experience in particular honed an interest in how you engage people and audiences, or just people, and what they respond to. And this idea that in leadership or in comedy, you need to be speaking with an authentic voice and telling a good story. And if they're not there, it's really hard to engage. And so that became a key insight into the core story and how we work. It's sort of at the root of everything we do. So that's sort of who we are and how we came about.
Thanks very much, Padraig. I'm not sure I've ever had a guest on the podcast who was a professional comedian, so I'm sure you have a lot of great stories to tell from that. So the first I ever heard of the concept of strategy story was in your webinar with us a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think it's a concept that a lot of people are actually familiar with. So can you tell us exactly what strategy story is and what sparked your interest in it and its potential for organizational transformation?
So I think for me, I mean, I probably over 30 years ago, I remember being on a program with GE, actually, who were a client of ours, and they had run a change program. And this was like change transformation. At the time, it was all new, this idea of managing change and these big change programs. And I remember the guy saying, 70% of change fails. And I actually saw something recently, a report by one of the big consulting companies, and the headline was 70% of change fails. And that's always fascinated me. Change has always been hard to do. And I've always been in that space, if you like, within organizations. We've always had some change program going on, no matter where I've been, and often I've been leading them. So I've always had an interest in figuring out, well, what's going on here? And I think the insight for me is that much of change is around managing change. And the emphasis is sometimes less on how do you excite for change? How do you create the desire for change? Because at one level, nobody likes change, but at another level, everybody likes change. Because why do we go on holidays every year? We want a bit of a change. But it's how change is done and how we perceive it that's really interesting. And I think the predominant, for me, my experience, and some of the research we've done over the years, has shown that actually one of the key reasons for failure, and there are many, but one of the key reasons is this ability to engage people around a change in the right way, in a way that they really get with it, they connect with it personally. And so for that reason, we always say that strategy should be communicated not as a set of statements or a poster or a tagline or whatever, but as a story, because the story is something a human being can connect with. And also, once it's in a story format, you've made sense of it already. You've given it a context. It's much, much easier to understand. When you deliver a strategy story, your granny or your grandson could understand it. They're not even in the business. But if you're delivering sets of statements, then people have to interpret them and see, well, what does this mean to me? And that's work. And so people tend not to do it. And often people will interpret things differently to how we intended them. So the importance of having a story is really critical for me, for an organization who are launching a change. And you should start with the story. Don't be trying to craft the story once you've established your strategy. Start with the story. Understand the story of where you're at now and where you're going. And then it brings a lot of clarity to people and it helps you land in a different place. But it definitely helps you engage people in a way that they'll want to be a part of it. I would just say that really a strategy story is that story that it incorporates your vision, your values, your mission, your purpose, all of these things in one narrative, one story, in a way that some of it isn't even called out. It's more built into the story, if you know what I mean. You don't have to call it out necessarily. So it's, like I say, it's much more engaging. And it's actually how humans learn and make sense of things is through story.
Park, you're talking a lot about change within organizations and how strategy can be a really powerful tool for that. So can you think of any specific instances where storytelling has made a really significant impact on an organization, whether that's in strategy execution or overall success, or just in getting people to be really comfortable with big changes?
Yeah, probably the best example is I think the DHL story, and just everybody knows DHL. It's been around a long time since 1969, but it's a very well-known brand internationally or globally. But what you might know about DHL is that, you know, it got bought out by Deutsche Post a good few years back, but over time, it sort of lost its sense of who it was. And by 2008, it was losing over $1 billion a year. So it was not a sustainable business. Something had to change. And this was a business that had been hugely successful, had grown at an amazing rate, was really well-known brand, very entrepreneurial. You know, really customer orientated and you know, a sort of a great story until this point. And at this time, Ken Allen took over, and Ken had been at the organization probably over 20 years at this point. He worked in different parts of the company. And Ken realized very early on that one of the issues was that the organization, you know, there was some strategy choices they made that weren't wrong, but more importantly, they'd lost connection with who they were. And that was a big problem. But Ken had a passion for the business. You know, he'd been in it a long time. And one of the first things he did was he reconnected everybody with their story, with their origin story and how they were founded and what they were about. And, you know, stories like, you know, there's a guy in Hong Kong called Po Chung, who was one of the first employees there and founded Hong Kong, or was one of the founders of DHL Asia, I think. But he ended up going to jail because it was illegal to compete with the postal service in Hong Kong at that time. So it was all these like little anecdotes and stories of the sacrifices people made, the entrepreneurial choices, the things they, how they went way out of their way for customers to, you know, get them out of tight spots or whatever it was. There are some incredible stories. So he basically reconnected with those. They produced some videos with some people that had retired, like old country managers and senior leaders, and got them telling their stories. And they started to share these. They got everybody reconnected with the story. They launched a program called CIS, the Certified International Specialist, which was all about getting back to being customer focused and customers at the center of everything. And they put well over 100,000 people through a 2-day offsite program all around the world. And it was all about reconnecting with this story, upskilling and being great, giving great service and making the customer at the center. Invested hugely in this space while he was making drastic cutbacks in a lot of other spaces. But he really committed to this because he had a passion and he realized that that identity was lost and that passion within the business, while it was there, it was dormant. People had got, you know, disconnected. And it was hugely successful. Within a few years, he had not only broken even, but started to make money. And I think, I can't remember, was it 4 or 5 years, they were delivering $1 billion in profits. It's like, it's probably one of the best turnaround stories I've ever heard. But the key thing was, you know, let me be clear. Story didn't solve everything. You know, they made some very smart strategy choices. They got out of domestic distribution and things like that that they felt they shouldn't have got into. Their area was a back focusing on what they were really good at, that sort of international express. And so they did a lot of smart things, but they also did some heart things. And we reference this as heart strategy. What's your story? What do you care about? Who are we for? And what are we about? Understanding that and reconnecting with that is as important as the smart choices you make. And so I would say DHL is one of the best examples of an organization that did a lot of smart things, but really used their story very well and reconnecting with that story.
Warwick, I'm actually going to come back to smart strategy and heart strategy in a moment, because I really want to discuss those in greater detail. But before we get there, I guess DHL is an example of a company that did storytelling really well. They got it right. They implemented it exactly when they needed to. But I'm sure a lot of organizations face some challenges when they try to integrate strategic storytelling into their corporate culture. So what are some of those challenges, and how can leaders work towards overcoming them?
Probably the biggest, well, a couple of challenges organizations have is that firstly, they think story is for engagement and sort of connection and just the warm, fuzzy stuff. It's only when you realize that actually it does all of that, and that's really powerful, but it's the fact that story is about driving meaning. And as a leader, you know, we talk about narrative intelligence and things like that. That's a leader's job. Your job, you can't influence what happens, but you can influence how it's interpreted. You can influence the meaning people make out of it. And indeed, your job is to, when, you know, in this world where change is so fast and, you know, continuously always happening, you know, your ability to continually keep people on track, keep people connected, keep people seeing that sort of bigger, wider picture, while still being able to change a few things, you know, to have that sort of ability to change the narrative slightly without losing the focus or the true line, shall we say. That's a real challenge for leaders. And so the realization that that's important as a leader is the first thing, a lot, you know, so to get the real power of story is a thing. I think the other thing is when storytelling, we talk about authentic storytelling. So often we work with organizations, and when we deliver, for example, a core story for them, sometimes the reaction is, oh, we can't tell the story like that. And it's usually because there's some aspect of the story that isn't something they really want to talk about. So in a lot of the stories of a lot of businesses, some decisions were bad, and or some behaviors were bad, or we did things we shouldn't have, or we're not proud of, or whatever it is. But for us, we always highlight the importance of your story needs to be authentic. In other words, you have to recognize where you've gone off track and make that part of the bigger story. It can still be a positive story, but you can't whitewash it. You can't just create some story that, you know, ignores that ever happened. And that, unfortunately, is something that happens quite a bit within organizations. So they'll embrace storytelling, but they'll want to embrace the story that they'd like to tell rather than a more authentic story that's reflective more of what's happening. And we had an instance recently with a large global organization where this was a bit of a tension, where the leadership were going, oh, we're not really sure if we should tell this story. And we said, well, why don't you take a sample of the front line and different parts of the organization and just let them read and see what the reaction will be? And they did that. And the reaction from front line was, oh, thank God, at last, we're telling it like it is. Can we do more of this? Whereas the leaders were like quite surprised by this. I think that's a big thing that people, our organizations and leadership in particular, need to embrace. Authentic storytelling is very powerful. It occasionally means you have to embrace reality, some realities you mightn't like, but it's worth it because it really does up your credibility with the people you're trying to engage around the story.
Thanks very much, Porik. And now I do want to come back to smart strategy and heart strategy. Can you tell us what those two concepts are and how they marry up with each other when an organization is implementing this storytelling strategy?
So Well, smart strategy for us is that thing we organizations do really, really well, and consulting companies do really, really well, where, you know, they identify the insights that, you know, what's happening in the industry, you know, what's the consumer insight, where is it going, what are the trends? And it can often be an outside in process where you're looking out into the world and seeing what's going on, where are things going, and try and be ahead of that or be at pace with it, etc., and make smart choices to position yourself in the right place, relevant and you know, connecting with the consumer, the customer, etc. All really, really important things. However, if you do that without a little bit of inside out work done first, and this is heart strategy, so this ability to know who you are, what we care about, what's our sense of purpose, what's our collective ambition as an organization. There are ways to establish that. And if you bring that out, and that really we do through developing your core story, that's the lens that you need to look at all of these insights and trends with. If you just look at all the insights and trends on their own without doing the hard work, then you're going to be like everybody else. You're just going to be making the same choices because you're getting the same insights. And so for us, where the real interesting work is in helping an organization get such a strong sense of themselves that it actually educates their smart decision making. So, and you should let your heart influence your smart decision making. So in the context of heart strategy, we're talking about bringing all this, what you care about, what's your sense of purpose, what's your collective ambition, and what's your authentic point of view. And so every organization has an authentic point of view. And we have a tool we call the Heart Compass, which helps us establish that for a group or a team or an organization or an individual even. And then you use that to help educate some of your choices and bring clarity to some of your choices. So that if two organizations got the same insights, they'd make different decisions based on who they are, what they care about, and where they're going and what's important to them. So it's this idea of bringing heart into your not just your storytelling, but your decision making. And so that's the difference between heart and smart. And for us, there's a step before you do your smart strategy work that often organizations do not do. They go straight into smart strategy. And as part of that smart strategy, they'll try and integrate maybe a bit of purpose work. But it's usually not given the center stage. And how they land at purpose isn't done in a what I would call a very heart-shaped way. So that's a danger. If you're not doing it, then you're just working off insights that probably your competitors have as well. So what's going to make the big difference? Your heart in a lot of cases. And so by bringing that in, that's a really powerful, powerful differentiator.
Thanks very much, Padraig. I think that you've given us a really good explanation of what strategic storytelling or story in general is. But can you give us a few concrete techniques or frameworks that leaders within organizations can use when they're starting to craft these impactful strategic narratives?
Yeah, well, there is story structure, and, you know, people talk about, you know, the hero's journey, and you can disappear down a rabbit hole of story structure and three act and five act stories. And what we tend to do is simplify story structure because all humans are really innate storytellers. It's how we process information. It's how we store every experience we have and how we record it and is and recollect it is in a story format. So we're very story capable. So even if I asked you right now, Farah, tell me a story or tell me about a time you did something, you would tell it, but you'd tell it in a way that had a beginning, a middle, and end. And you'd probably have something called a trigger event, which sets up some kind of tension, and a climax event, which resolves that tension. You don't even know you're doing it. So a lot of, what we tend to do is get leaders to just understand the very basics, bring an awareness to the basic story structure, and make sure that you use it. And by bringing that awareness in, it helps you ensure that you tell better stories. And probably the other thing I would suggest to organizations is start, if you're on a strategy journey, start by finding out what is the current story? So a lot of the times we'll ask questions like, if we're trying to assess the culture of an organization, we'll say, well, you know, do you have autonomy? Do you feel you have autonomy? Do you understand the strategy? That, you know, they're quite direct questions, and often people will give you an answer based on, you know, whatever context they believe is going on. Like, well, who'll be reading this? Will people know? What should I say? What do people want to hear? Whereas it's much better to go out and maybe capture some stories of what's going on. And within the stories, you'll find sometimes a better reflection of the truth of reality. And so starting by listening is really important for somebody about to embark on a story process. Listen and capture stories. Listen to stories. Seek out stories would be the first thing. The other thing I would say with leaders is identify your own stories. One of the things I found really fascinating in the work we do is most leaders, well, most, a lot of leaders do not value their own story or stories. They don't have a sense of how inspirational they are. And so one of the points I always make when I'm working with teams is, you know, you can have somebody that, I don't know, swam the Atlantic in a surrounded by sharks with a bungee rope tied to his ankle or whatever. I don't know. It's some incredible feat. And that can be inspirational. But I'll never do that. And neither will 99.9999 people of the world. The most inspirational stories really are the ones about going down to your local news agents to pick up a newspaper and a dog barks at you and you responded in a certain way or whatever. It's an everyday story. And those are the stories that people can relate to. And they're as inspirational as any, because there's always a meaning in the story. And provided you're able to articulate a story and deliver a meaning, then that's really powerful. And so for leaders to embrace their own stories. And I'll actually give you a story. We were working with a politician, not in this country, but an international politician who's, you know, fairly well established. But there was an election coming up and he was doing some story work with us. And he was at that point where he was getting his own team ready to get back out on the electioneering road, shall we say. And in getting people to get inspired about coming out to vote. And so they had to go out and engage with a lot of different stakeholders. And he was trying to think of a story to get his team really ramped up at the opening of a meeting that he was about to have. And but he made this comment. He says, I don't really have any stories. You've got loads of stories. I don't have any stories. And this is another mistake in thinking, because we all have thousands of stories, but a lot of us, because we're doing it innately and unaware, unconsciously, we're not actually aware that we have loads of stories. And what we did was that we had a little conversation. I said, look, you have loads of stories. And I knew he had some three daughters. And I said, look, your daughters, if ever they want to persuade you of anything, what do they do? Oh, he said, he started laughing and he said, oh, actually, they were trying to get me to go to McDonald's recently, he said. And what they always do is they send in the little one first, because she's so cute, I can't say no. And they know that. So they'll send her in first and then the other two will pile in afterwards. And that's how they get me to take them to McDonald's. And I said, brilliant. And he told this story and it was a lovely little story, a story anybody could relate to. And I said, great. And the meaning of that story that I got was that even a child knows that you need to have a strategy to persuade somebody, but you can persuade them if you have the strategy. I said, there you are. You have your story for your meeting. If you tell that story and then you deliver that meaning, then what they're really getting is that we need to have a strategy to go out to the market and start to engage people to get them out voting and promoting us. Now, it's a very simple story, but what I found interesting about that is he could not see. He kept saying to me, I don't have any stories. And I just asked him one or two questions and we landed on a really nice story. And so this idea that as leaders, we don't have stories. Yes, we do. We have lots of them. And the everyday stories are more powerful than the incredible stories, I believe. and they drive great meanings. So just become aware of your own stories as a leader and how they relate to the change you might be driving. That's really powerful. And then if you're looking at the broader story, go and listen to some people and capture some of their stories before you start articulating a strategy story.
I really love that, Padraig. Thank you so much for telling that story about how even a child understands there has to be some kind of strategy behind what they're doing. So yeah. I'd really encourage everyone to think about what stories they have and how they can use them to make an impact on their strategy and on their organization as a whole. And finally, just to end off, I think that as more and more people become familiar with this concept of storytelling, it will really start to evolve in a business context. So do you foresee any future trends in storytelling within organizations in the future?
Yeah, well, it's already happening. I think, you know, what's actually happening, the trend that's driving this is that people aren't listening anymore. So what's happening is, as a leader, you have to have more game. You're more game in terms of being able to engage people in a way that excites them and rewards their attention. So when I was young, you know, if the leader came out into the office or onto the floor or whatever, you know, everybody dropped everything, you know, and everything they said would have been revered, you know. Whereas now it's like, you can be the leader, but if you aren't talking in a way that really engages or excites me, I'm disconnecting. I'm no longer interested. So I think the fact that it is harder and tougher to engage and build trust with people requires stories. So, you know, the hybrid world we live in, leaders are being challenged. How do I get online and communicate and connect in a way that really builds trust and real connection for people, emotional connection? You have to use story in a lot of different ways. And it's not that a whole meeting has to now become one story after another, but you need to know when to bring in story. You need to reveal some of your stories and you need to look for their stories. This is what's missing. It's the story that people talk, oh, we need those water cooler moments. It's the stories you're missing. And so creating a space for those stories is going to happen. The organizations we're working with already are coming to us because they want to bring more story and they realize we need to get better at this, because it is the way, no matter how dispersed people are or disconnected or hybrid, this is the way you keep them connected without having necessarily a face-to-face every day or week. You can still keep them connected. So that's going to happen. I think more and more storytelling is going to come into our everyday. That's already happening. I think strategically, you know, we want a world where people realize that the first step in any change or strategy is in understanding how to get people excited about it. Where is the heart in it? Where's the passion point? Where's the purpose? And if you start there before you get into the smart stuff, your smart stuff is going to be even smarter. So we want people to take a step before they get stuck into smart strategy on heart and bring that into your game. So that's already happening. You know, it's not that long ago, if I mentioned storytelling, people would think you're some kind of after dinner speaker. And now more and more leadership, and not just senior leadership, but, like, you know, everybody in the organization, whether you're in sales or whether you're on customer services or you're leading the company, we're all trying to engage somebody. We're all trying to make better connections and build trust. You have to be telling more and more stories. So it's happening already. So I'm enjoying that. And I can see story just raising in significance. I can see narrative intelligence being one of the key leadership skills that people are trying to develop and embracing more. So I think that's what we're going to see a lot more of. I would say one thing, though. We're, you know, this world of artificial intelligence and machine learning, and I think it is so important to make sure that's human first. And so we have some projects we do around, again, our AI. And, you know, for us, it's AI, it's human first, AI powered, you know. So maybe AI can add some insight and value and do some of the heavy lifting, but you can't be going to AI and other places for authentic storytelling and authentic strategy and purpose. That starts with the human, and it can, yes, be enhanced, but we need human voices.
Thank you very much, Padraig. So Storytelling starts with the human. I think that is one of the most key takeaways from what we've heard today. Thank you so much for joining us on the IMI Talking Leadership podcast today. And thank you to everyone for listening. You can subscribe on SoundCloud or your preferred podcast provider to ensure that you don't miss an episode. Until next time.